This morning, as I shared earlier, we're continuing our series out of the book of Ezekiel. And we do make a shift today. We make a shift from the previous three sermons where we've looked at a lot of the prophecy, the oracles that Ezekiel was giving, those statements, calling people to turn from their brokenness, turn from their ways that were not giving life, to turn away from their sin. And so we have this shift, though, instead of having the call, away from the brokenness, more of, a sign of what's to come, more of an offer of redemption, a proclaiming of redemption and grace. So I invite you to hear these words, starting at verse 11 of chapter 34 out of the book of Ezekiel. "For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. The fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture? When you drink of clear water, must you foul the rest with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have fouled with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock. They shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We look in the Old Testament and parts of the New Testament, the idea of our relationship between us and God, or between us and Christ, is that between of a shepherd, caring for his flock. It's an image that you see throughout Old Testament and New Testament and the New Testament as well, and even where you have Jesus proclaim that I am the good shepherd. And it's an image that is used because in a time, of the Bible, at the time of those who are hearing these words, it would have been something they could understand, they could appreciate. They could see how a shepherd would care for livestock. And for us today, we can see that value. We know how important it is to care for livestock, how important it is to care for animals, and how much work as well that good care is needed and done, how helpful it is when raising and caring for animals. And so we have this image here of Ezekiel proclaiming once again that message of how God will gather, how God will care, how God will restore his flock. We can see here, though, in this shift, this marked shift from our previous sections out of Ezekiel, but very important for us to see here is that change of what God is going to do next. Instead of proclaiming, destruction on those with their wicked ways, we see a sign of hope. We see a sign of grace and a message of a second chance, of a new beginning. Now, I find myself watching a lot of shows that often have some kind of redemption story in it, a story where perhaps someone, maybe an athlete, for example, finds themselves injured, and they were perhaps at the top of their game, they find themselves injured, and they have to work to restore their ability to come back to where they were. And then maybe on down the road, they get that gold medal, or they win, you know, that game, or the team, you know, redeems themselves and is able to have that victory. It's a good story. It's a story we can get behind. But we also know there's, you know, a kind of a variation of that. Redemption stories, perhaps, or maybe the athlete in mind here has struggled, perhaps, with steroid use. Maybe they've struggled with drug addiction, or something else that they've had to work through, they've had to overcome, something else they've had to put in their past. Then on down the road, they're able to redeem themselves, they're able to win that medal, to achieve that victory. When we think about our lives, though, we have these moments where we find ourselves in positions like this. Perhaps we are doing well. Perhaps our life is going, you know, as we had hoped it would. But then we find ourselves needing redemption, needing a fresh start. We're no longer at the top of our game. We find ourselves in a place where we need to have a second chance given to us, a shot at redemption. Perhaps an opportunity to experience grace. And it can come to us, you know, perhaps in our marriages. It can come to us at our work, in school, with our friends, with people whom we care about. We find ourselves needing that second chance, that fresh start, that shot for redemption. And it's not exactly a good place to find ourselves in. You know, we would have, you know, if things stayed at the top, you know, things were well, I mean, we would have loved that. That would have been awesome. But needing that redemption, being in that place, it's uncomfortable. It can seem overwhelming. It can seem like there's too much to do even, or perhaps there's no way we can redeem ourselves, or there's no way we can move forward. There's no way we can find forgiveness. But I believe in our message here today out of Ezekiel, I believe out of this text, it is saying, yes, redemption is possible. Yes, a new beginning is possible. Now we think about, you know, this text or this context that we find this in here. You know, this is that period of exile. The people of Israel, they are not in their homes. They have gone through all kinds of trials and tribulations. Some have tried to find comfort in ways that are not healthy. They've tried to chase other gods, engage in practices that cause their harm or get in the way of their relationship with God. And you can say in a lot of ways that where they were in that exile place, they had deserved it. They deserved to suffer. But God here thinks differently. God is acting differently. Instead of saying, this is the judgment, this is the end, it's not going to get any better, we have God who's saying, you know, starting at verse 11 right here, for thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and all the inhabited parts of the land. And that's just a part of that reading. But it's that rich imagery, that rich idea, that grace-filled idea of God calling for the people to come back, to be restored, to experience grace and a new beginning. Now for us, when we find ourselves in need of that new beginning there, we like perhaps maybe that idea as well of the new beginning. It could be overwhelming. It could be like it's too much. But you know, experience that moving forward from it. It is life-giving. But I believe when we're given that second chance, that opportunity to be restored, to experience grace, I believe it's something that carries a little bit of responsibility even. While I believe the grace of God is shared with us freely without price, I believe there's a responsibility for us to embrace it, but also to share it with others in our lives. When you go further on in that reading, you know, starting at verse 17, this kind of, there's a shift there in this message. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet on the rest of your pasture? When you drink of clear water, must you foul the rest with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink with what you have fouled with your feet? Now, in this imagery here, it can seem like what responsibility is given here, you know, in this fresh start, but really it's a call. You know, if you're being brought, you know, carried, you know, into this fresh pasture, this fresh start, and experiencing the grace and the love of God, it's something that we're called to care. And I also see in here to steward. But if we're going to embrace the grace, embrace the care that's given to us by our God, I believe it is important for us to share that and to be stewards of it, particularly in our personal lives. Now, occasionally, and I will probably divulge more of my television habits here than I want to, but occasionally I will watch Entertainment Tonight, or maybe some TMZ, if I'm feeling, you know, like I need a guilty pleasure in my day right there. But if you see a lot on there, if, you know, a celebrity or an actor or a director or somebody, you know, falls short and they do something totally wrong, you can see this whole movement to pile on that person, every single thing that they have done wrong, every single thing that they did wrong maybe 10, 20 years ago, gets piled on top of them. And it becomes this mob mentality of where nothing can be done to save this person. It's all these bad things is what defines them. Now, when we watch that, you know, celebrities who might have some, you know, Schadenfreude or taking pleasure in their pain perhaps, and that's not a good thing at all to do. But that whole thing right there, it's not limited to just people we hear about on the news or in television. It could happen in our communities. It could happen with our families. It could happen to those we care about. Because that natural human tendency that when somebody has done something wrong to us, we want to pile that on top of them and keep going. But it's our God that calls us to live into that grace and to share it, to offer that forgiveness, to offer that second chance and that new beginning. Now, when we offer that and allow that forgiveness and that grace to be there in our lives with those whom we care about, those who we work with or we interact with or we see, I believe it's, you know, we do this because of the grace that's been shared with us. And we do it in a healthy way, a way that's grounded in Scripture, a way that, you know, allows that other person to experience that same grace that's been shared with us. It's not just a willy-nilly fresh start, but rather it's grounded in our faith so that other person can have a new beginning and experience that exact same grace that God has shared with us. Because I believe if we're given this grace and that new beginning, if we squelch it for another person, if we say that they are unworthy or have no interest in extending that forgiveness or grace, then we are like the sheep in that pasture who have trampled it. We are like the sheep who have muddied the waters. Because that grace is a gift. That forgiveness is a gift. I believe it's important for us to experience it, but important to share it. Our world needs to see this. I really believe the world needs to see this because, again, of how our media can amplify these things and build it. But I believe if we start showing this as a people of faith in our lives, if we start sharing this forgiveness and grace with others in our lives and saying there is a different way, there is a better way, there is a way that's grounded in the light of God, if we start with our families, our communities, our workplaces, I believe it can make an impact on our lives and those around us. I think about in Matthew 5, where Christ is giving the direction on the Sermon on the Mount to the disciples, that a light should not be covered by the bushel basket. Instead, that light should shine. That city on the hill, passage that we think about. And I believe when we offer that grace and forgiveness, we're reflecting that light. We're reflecting that hope in our communities, in our friendships, in our families. And that can be transformative. That's where that transformation of the heart starts to take place. And God can be at work, as God is already at work in our lives. So, brothers and sisters, it is difficult to share that forgiveness at times. It's difficult to share that grace. But I believe we are called, we are charged to share that grace, that new beginning, that forgiveness, so others can experience the same hope and grace we have embraced and we benefit by. But more importantly, so others can experience everlasting life as we experience the life in Christ. It is a call. It is a charge. But I believe it is transformative for us and for all. Amen.